We are delivered from the curse of the law. I don't care what type of witch wants to curse you and that. No, no, no. As a child of God walking in the Spirit, you are free from that. Amen. Come on, they ain't got no authority over you. You are a child of God. You've been delivered from that. Jesus became a curse to deliver us from all curses. But there is a curse that you can bring on yourself. Amen. And when I say curse, let me give you a definition here of what the word curse means. The word curse there, curse means to bind with a spell. It means to hem in with obstacles, to render powerless to resist, to render powerless to resist, to hem in with obstacles. Curse. Cursed be the man that doeth the work of the Lord negligently, haphazardly, carelessly. Cursed. He will be bound. He will be spellbound. He will be hemmed in with obstacles. He will be rendered powerless to resist the adversary. And he said, cursed be the man that doeth the work of the Lord negligently, and cursed, get that verse back up for me, be the man that keepeth back his sword from blood. Keepeth back his sword from blood. I want to put a twist to this so that we understand where it begins. It begins with us. Tell someone, it begins with me. Not people out there, but it begins with me. I have to take dominion in every domain here. I got to take my thoughts captive. Amen. I got to bring my members subject to work righteousness. I can't be working deceit. I can't be lying and cheating. I can't allow the flesh to have place. I got to bring this subject first. So the first facet of that I want to talk about is who keeps his sword from blood. You know, the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen. Amen.
You know, you can get strong in yourself. But you know, if someone were to have an accident, on the scene of the accident, the first thing the paramedics want to do, I would imagine, is stop the bleeding. Am I correct? They don't want you to lose too much blood, because if you lose too much blood, you can die. But see, before we can turn the sword on our adversaries in the spirit dimension, we have to turn the sword on ourselves.
Amen.
And the word says, cursed be he that keepeth his sword from blood. Amen. In other words, I'm drawing the sword, but I've not drawn the sword to draw blood from me.
Amen.
In other words, I'm strong in myself. I know the word, but I'm not living the word. I can quote the Bible, but I don't really believe the Bible. I can tell you what to do, but I don't do it. Are you hearing? In other words, that sword has not been turned on me. In Joshua chapter 5, don't turn there, but when Joshua met the theophany, when he met the Lord at the wall of Jericho, this is a real sword, and it's sharp too, and it's heavy. When Joshua, Elder John, since you're on the first, just stand up over there. I ain't going to hurt you. He trusts me. Now, if he wasn't acting right, I might slip up on the patina. When Joshua heard the rumbling outside his tent at the wall of Jericho, he came out at night, and he had his sword drawn. He came to the wall where there was a man standing with his sword drawn. And Joshua cried out, are you for us or our adversaries? And the angel of the Lord said, nay. In other words, I'm not for you, nor am I against you, but as captain of the host have I come. His sword was drawn, and it was pointing at Joshua. You see, Joshua, you can sit down. Joshua was a military leader, a strategist, a general that knew warfare. But at that juncture, God was pointing the sword at his heart because he had to do a new thing. You got to die to how you got here.
Amen.
You got here a certain way. You won battles. You fought and won. But I'm doing something new here. And the first thing I got to deal with, Joshua, is your heart.
Amen.
Huh? He had to deal with Joshua's heart. Oftentimes we come to the place. See, God mixes things up so that you don't put him in a box. You try to dictate how God's going to work. You don't know. You know he's going to work. You know he's going to come through. We know this, but you don't know what method, how, where, when. So he keeps you on your toes. You can't go to sleep. You got to watch. You got to do your due diligence. You got to be faithful. You got to be committed. You never know. That service that you said, you know, I don't feel like going tonight. I'm just so tired. But the Holy Ghost says, he's pushing you. And you finally yield to it, and you come, and that's the night that either you meet someone in the service or a word is spoken in the service that unlocks the next dimension, unlocks the next realm. Hello? You don't know. You don't know. But the sword was pointed at his heart. I would liken today with so many tears that were in our worship. Do you know that's God destroying? That's God drawing you near. That's God sanctifying. That's God purifying. Tears. Tears. Not that you've been wrong. It's just that God is drawing you nearer. And it's that glory that just breaks you. You know, when there's no blood, you're strong in yourself. But oh, when you get weak in yourself. Cursed be he that keepeth his sword from blood. But that's how God deals with us. And then we turn the sword on our adversary. But the sword must be turned upon us first. Joshua, I want you to notice something. Go to Joshua with me, Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 10. Joshua 5. Verse 10 says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. This morning, you know, after this morning service, such a spirit of prophecy was on me in the office. I just started, prophecy started rising up in my spirit. I felt like there's going to be something released in this service concerning the prophetic word. But here, God shifted Joshua. There was a shifting. The manna ceased. That manna indicated a season. This next 6 to 8 months is a new season. You have to establish it in your thinking first to even open you up to the realm. The manna indicated the end of a season. In Egypt, there was never enough. They had ultimately to make brick without straw. In the wilderness, there was just enough. Remember the manna. You gather much, you'd have none over. You gather little, you had no lack. You gather today, it won't be here tomorrow. And on the weekend, you gathered enough for the weekend. But after that, it would rot, worms. So there was just enough. I want to declare and proclaim and release this new season. Tell somebody, the manna ceased. In other words, a season has come to an end. And a new season has started. I'm not talking about just summertime. I'm talking about a season in God. A new season, and not the season of just enough. Can you grab that right now? Can you grab hold of that right now? I don't care what your situation looks like. Grab hold of the word. Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, there will be plenty. It didn't look like it, but by that time tomorrow, there was more than enough. So God is able. Come on, you don't know how he can shift things. What's already waiting in the wings for you. But I declare right now, a new season, a new dawn, a new day, a new beginning. In the name of Jesus, the manna has ceased. You might be drowning in debt, but I declare to you right now, the manna has ceased. You might be sick and the doctor give you so much time. I declare to you, the manna has ceased. That indication of the wilderness. Manna indicates wilderness. Thank God for manna. Thank God for paycheck to paycheck. That's manna. Thank God for, you know, eking out in existence. God has been good. He's always been good. He'll always be good. But I'm here to declare and proclaim to every spirit that is listening, every demonic spirit, I declare it in their face that a new season has begun. I said a new season, a brand new day. A day where we leave the manna. We begin to eat of the old corn. We begin to eat of what God has in the land. He said, I'm bringing you into a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm bringing you into a land where you will build houses. Where you will have houses you didn't build. You will have vineyards you didn't plant. I'm bringing you into a land that I watch over from in front of the year, from the beginning of the year to the end. In other words, it's not like the system of the world. It's not even like Egypt. You know, in Egypt, they had to irrigate. They irrigated the land so that water would. God said, it's not like the land of Egypt. It's a land that drinks up the water from heaven. I want you to receive that right now. Come on, I want you to receive that right now. Take hold of that right now. This is where change begins. This is where you receive it first. Amen. Something is broken in the spirit. When I say that, something is broken off in the spirit. Some chains are broken off in the spirit. Amen. But see, Joshua received that word because when the angel pointed that sword at Joshua, Joshua said, what would my Lord say unto me? He said, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place that whereon you stand is holy. Joshua took his shoes off and began to worship. It was out of that worship that he received divine direction.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 61 of our Mega Grace series, Grace the Enabler, part 2. There are major mountains in the world system. The eighth one is the mountain of the Lord's house. This mountain is going to sit at the top of all the other mountains. When we say we are the head and not the tail, that's God's plan for us. If you know the purpose of a thing, you won't abuse it. If you use a thing properly, you will get the results that you want. Follow the Lord's design. We are workers together with Him.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.